Thank you for worshiping this morning as we're singing these words of identity, of who you are. You are a child of God. And so we're going to give praise to Him. We're going to pray. Steve is here. He reminded me this morning of reflection. And he's already been to church once today. Can you imagine going to church twice? Some of you have already been to church twice, right? Boy, can you ever get enough of church? Don't answer that. No. But we're here to give praise to God. Whether you want to reflect on the last year, that'd be great. Or you want to just reflect on yesterday. Reflect on today. What has God done for you? The blessings that you've received. They're great and very, very many of the blessings that God has given to you. And that's prayer. Conversation with God, our Heavenly Father, saying, hey, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the blessings you've given to me. Thank you, Father, for the blessings you've provided through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together this morning. Unite our voices. If you want to pray out loud this morning, I would certainly encourage that. But this is a time of conversation with our Heavenly Father. Father, this morning we were gathered in a sanctuary. Close quarters this morning. I would pray that our hearts and our minds, our spirits are united in giving you praise. That first hymn that we sang, we talked about, the title is, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Can we be young men and women of today and also say those words? Would our hearts be glad because we are your followers? We are your disciples. We are your children. Let us be united in giving you praise today. For Father, we've received many blessings from you. And we come together, united in voice, united in prayer, united in spirit, to say thank you. And beyond that, thank you, Father, we even would bring to you petitions of needs. Things that are happening in our life that, well, frankly, maybe we just don't like. We would like to see changes. We would like to see issues, matters, problems resolved. Let that happen for us today, we pray. Let your Spirit speak to us. I listened a little bit in the Don's class, and they talked about finding your will in the troubles and issues of life. That mind-changing transition that needs to happen when we become a follower of Jesus Christ. That we don't see today and life issues today as finite for us. For you are an infinite God. Help us to see the tomorrows. Help us to see you at work, even in the tests and trials that we're facing today. For Father, we do believe that you're a sovereign God. You're an all-knowing God. You're ever-present. And so, Father, we thank you for your presence here today. Father, thank you for hearing our hearts. Thank you for hearing our words. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus who said, for out of the mouth we say words that come from our heart. The heart sends that message out through our mouths. And so today, I know you've listened to our hearts, but I would pray that those that are around us have heard us singing praises to you. They've heard our voices lifting up praises to you. For you are that amazing, all-loving, all-knowing God. And Father, we need you today. We need your presence. Thank you for speaking to us today through song, through scripture, through an old creed. Let it speak to us today. May we know and see who we are in you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm going to bring you a message that will have in itself a conclusion, but it will be an ongoing message. So listen today. Take notes on the back of your bulletin. I may get to all of those blanks, I may not, but I think you can follow along. Inside your bulletin, right up under the day and the date, we used to have in there a little saying. It said, loving God, loving people. And then several months ago, I added the phrase, serving our community. But as I was thinking about that, I would say as God was thinking for me, thinking through me, changing my thoughts, and in a reading, I came across something that's new that I put in the bulletin. And so I'm going to challenge you with this thought over the next several weeks, because I do believe as disciples, followers of Christ, this needs to be our identifier. To know Christ and to make Him known to others. That's not a new statement. That's a statement that's been around for a long time. It's not copyrighted. I don't know who phrased it first, but it's a good statement. For disciples of Christ are people who are to want to know Christ more. I think we would all agree that you'll never know all that there is to know about Christ. And if you think you know all that there is to know about Christ, then you should go to Harvard or Yale or some big head university somewhere and teach a class. Because you might be the only person in the world who would make that claim. But we as disciples of Christ are to desire more and more of Him. So we are to desire to know Him. And then Jesus gives to us this command that we are to make Him known to others. And so I pray for you, and I want you to pray for me, that we will do this. We will take this and let it be one of the identifiers of who we are. We are a people who are desiring to know God and then desiring to share Him or make Him known to others. For the Bible does tell us that if that's not in our heart, not in our mind today, that when we become disciples of Christ, we become new creatures. There's changes that are going to happen in our life. We will be changed. And so I'm going to read for you 7 biblical value statements. And I would say that this would be a good reflector of again, like the Apostles' Creed that we read earlier this morning, this would be a good statement for, again, those of us that claim to be disciples of Christ, that this would describe you and this would describe me. Now, there's 7 of them, so I want you to listen as I read them. And I'm going to give you a little scriptural reference for each of them. So these are coming from Scripture. Number 1 is that we, you and I, value the souls of all those who don't believe in Jesus. That's a big statement. We value the souls of those who don't believe in Jesus, Luke 19:10, if you want to look it up. Number 2, we value personal integrity, Proverbs 10:9. Your integrity, my integrity, personal integrity, who you are, but nobody's paying attention, but nobody's around. We value personal integrity. I'm accountable to you and you are accountable to me. Number 3, we value corporate worship. I'm glad you're here this morning. It makes a statement about the value of following Christ. It's colder than cold outside, right? The wind's blowing. I forgot to plug my truck in. I've got stuff in the garage that probably shouldn't be there. But anyway, Cynthia let me use the van. Isn't that nice of her? Yeah. She had to call me before 9 o'clock and remind me that I had to go back home and pick her up. I'd have forgot all about her. Anyway. But we value corporate worship. Hebrews 10:25. We value corporate worship. You're here this morning. That's great. That's a great value statement of your time and purpose of living. Number four, we value the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9, the great mantra of the Jewish people. They value the Word of God. Let that speak of who you are and who I am. We value the gifts of God's people. Paul wrote that in his letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4. We value the gifts of God's people. Now, I'll make a statement about that, which maybe we'll cover later. But if you are gifted in using a hammer, okay, or maybe a stick of dynamite, that's your gifting. So don't be offended if we don't invite you to use that gift to do finished carpentry. You understand? Gifts are to be used where the gifting is, not in realms where they're not. But we value the gifting of God's people. Number six, we value wholesome fellowship. 1 John 1, verse 7. We value wholesome fellowship. Friday night, a couple weeks ago, we gathered together and watched a movie. Wholesome fellowship, getting together as the body of Christ. We value that. I value your fellowship. And fellowship is it's really a church word. But you know what I'm saying by that? I enjoy getting together with people. That camaraderie of belief, knowing that you're with somebody who has a common foundation of life. The wholesome fellowship, that's a value statement for a disciple of Christ. We value the family of God. Psalm 133, verse 1. The family of God, we read it in the Apostles' Creed, it's the church out there, it's the big church. That we value the family of God. We give you opportunities from time to time to join in other churches in the community in their services. That is a statement of value. We're not going to put on a huge Christmas production. Okay? We're not going to do that. We can't do that. Okay? Well, Roger, could you do that? Carol, you could. Sure. Next year, we'll do that. All right? But instead of doing that, we value the church, big church, and so we are going to encourage you to do something with the big church. Don is a part of the Faith at Work group, and they are a great group of Christian business people in town who would challenge the pastors. It's amazing that they come to us and they say, what can we do to help the churches be united? What can we do? What would all of the churches embrace? That is just a value statement of the family of God. We love each other. Even though we worship in different buildings, different facilities, we come together. So these seven value statements are given to us by God Himself. I've given you scripture references for each one of them. They are not given to us by a committee, a group of men and women sitting around a big conference table and saying, what would be good value statements? They are coming directly from Scripture. Now, if you don't see yourself in agreement with one or more of these statements, then you're human and you're spiritually growing. Because I would say if we stopped and we took one of these seven value statements, somebody here would maybe give a little pushback or a little when it comes to embracing each of those statements fully. But then the next question, the one I would ask of you, is then do you desire to change? Are you moldable? Are you pliable? Are you coachable? If God tells you to do something that you don't want to do, would you do what God wants you to do? Or would you say, no, God, I just leave me alone. You know what? He'll leave you alone. So it is a good, I would say, a good foundation, a good place to start. Ask yourself the question, if you push back on one of the seven, can I change? Do I desire the change? It's almost a new year. Tomorrow's the new year, tonight, 12:01, 12 o'clock. And we're not going to talk about resolutions today. I'll leave that up to you. Yesterday in our conversation, we talked about resolutions, and to make a resolution is to break a resolution. Has anybody here made a resolution last year, 20 years ago, and you're still doing it today? No. Okay. That's why we make them new every year. That's why they bring it back around to us. But today's message is the foundation of those seven value statements that I read for you. But it is to help us identify who are we. Today's message is a change of heart message. And I know, and I believe that you know, that we are to have a heart like Christ. And my heart is ever changing. And I'm praying for you, and you pray for me, that our hearts are always, always changing. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. And I trust, and I know you, I'm going to say for you that you're not the same person you were a year ago. Life has come our way, new experiences, new challenges, new blessings, whatever, and we are changing. But in changing, I want us to change our heart to be more like Christ. So last August at our church, Nazarene Church District Assembly, several of us sat through little breakout sessions, little seminars. And I want to just bring to you today, in this element of who you are, a piece of just one line item that was shared with us on that day. And it really is the identifier of who you are. The basic premise of the seminar was that you and I are the church. And we've talked about that. The church is not the walls. It's not 515 12th Street Southwest. The church is you. So when someone somewhere thinks about the Church of the Nazarene, the church with the sign, what thoughts do they have? What goes through their mind when they say, you hear them say, or they say, somebody says, oh yeah, Tony Freeberg, yep, Church of the Nazarene. What is it? What thoughts go through their mind? What are they thinking? Do they think of you? Do you know that you represent not only the Church of the Nazarene as you move around the community, but you represent God? You represent God. Forget the church. If this church wasn't here, you'd still be a disciple of Christ. You'd be a follower of Christ. You represent God. So the word that I want to share with you today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you want to take a Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wants us, the church, to know who we are. He's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, but it's in our Holy Bible, it's in our Scripture, because it speaks to us today. So listen to this passage of Scripture that Paul wrote. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, listen to this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So the word of who you are, the word that we want to look at this morning, of identifier of who you are, is that word ambassador. Have you ever thought of yourself in that phrase? You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people in the world today have an identity crisis. They're trying to find themselves. They're searching. They don't know who they are. They just stumble around through life without purpose. A Christian, a disciple, a follower of Christ, has an identifier. It has been given to you. It has been given to me by God Himself through Paul's writing, led by the Holy Spirit, to call us ambassadors. Let me identify that word for you. An ambassador. You are an ambassador. An agent of the highest rank. Agent of the highest rank. Representing his country's interest at a foreign capital. That's an identifier of who you are. It's an identifier of me. It's an identifier of all of us who embrace Christ. We took that oath of office when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That might be new news for some of you. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you became an ambassador. You became the highest ranking person that He has, representing Him. It says in foreign countries, but it's the countries around the world. It's in this capital city, this Wilmer, Minnesota, where you are a representative of Jesus Christ. So, sit up a little straighter. Hope you have a little better self-image of who you are this morning. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are God's ambassador. So as God's ambassadors, we are not to follow the rules of the U.S. government. Really? Well, we are, because they get thrown in jail if you don't. Okay? So don't say that the pastor said, I don't have to follow the rules and the laws. But we do know that God's law supersedes, it is higher than the laws of our nation. There are things that in the last 5 years that our government has said it's okay to do, it's okay to be. And all of it is contrary to Scripture. So there are things, there are elements that we will find in Scripture that would say to me, and I want it to say to you, that God's law is the law that we are to follow. With love, we don't have to say, well, the U.S. government says it's okay to do whatever, and go do it. You want to move to Colorado and smoke pot? Go ahead. Colorado said it's okay. I would challenge you in taking care of the body that God has given to you that probably wouldn't be a good thing for you. Okay? So again, that would be just a little example of following God's law versus just because the government of your state or the country says it's okay. Our allegiance is to Him and to Him alone. You are an ambassador of God. You are an ambassador of God. When Jesus was asked which laws are the most important, what should we as ambassadors focus on? Jesus said, love God, love others. Love God, love others. Jesus didn't say anything about the Roman law. I find that kind of interesting. Israel, city of Jerusalem, under government rule, under government law. Jesus didn't say anything other than at one time Jesus was asked about paying taxes. And he said, yeah, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Do what he requires. Do what that government requires. But in the essence of the greatest commandments, Jesus said, love God, love others. So let me say some things about the church, us. Again, the church is not the building, it's you, it's me. Loving others. We all have friends. Now, some of us have more friends than others. You probably have more friends than I have. I don't know. But that's not important. We all have friends. So, what about those other people? Jesus called them enemies. Enemies. In Jesus' kingdom, His ambassadors doing His will on earth as it is in heaven. How do you react to those enemies? How are we to show love to the enemies? Well, Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, verses 42 through 48. He said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. They hate, you hate. Let's just trade it back and forth. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, love them and pray for them. That would be the message. That would be the challenge to us as an ambassador is to love. Love those who hate you. Love them. Pray for them. In Luke's gospel, Luke adds to the elements to do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. That's contrary to, I would say, public opinion. Go out and talk to anybody on the street. It comes up in conversation as I move around the community and I chaplain with several companies and just having conversations with people. It is amazing how people are spiteful. Somebody does them wrong, and the first thing we react to is we want to figure out how can we get back at them. That's not being an ambassador of Christ. Christ would say that we are to love them. We are to love even our enemies. Love them. And again, that's not a natural thing, but it's a God thing that we embrace. Our pride, self-pride, would say, push back. They hurt you, then hurt them. They said something cruel about you, then do something cruel back at them. Thursday morning, conversation with a man, and he, driving through town, somebody got on his bumper and passed him where they weren't supposed to pass, and then slowed down in front of him, and he could tell that they were agitated. That something he did, didn't know what he did, but he said, I wanted to stop that person and just say, what happened to you today? What side of the bed did you get up on? Now, I would add to that that an ambassador would have said a prayer for that person, would have said, hey, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? A personal thing that happened to me several months ago. I may have shared this already, but I'll share it again real quick. There's a new business in town, and the owner of that business is leasing space from somebody that I know. And in conversation, the building owner, the landlord, shared some of the shenanigans that the new leasee was playing and getting things done. And it was nasty. It was just like, I said, I'd take that lease and rip it up. If you had to pay the guy $10,000 to get rid of him, get rid of him. Just say, you know, cut your losses. Well, that was my old business mind thinking. And as I read this passage of Scripture, and I read this several months ago, so I have since confessed and repented and changed my thinking. But really, as an ambassador of Christ, it said to me that we need to be careful with the attitudes we carry with us. What should have been my attitude at the time? What should I have encouraged the building owner to do for his nasty leasee? Well, if we're going to go back to Scripture and I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I should have said, pray for that person. There's some real need in that person's life for God. Pray a blessing on that business. If that business prospers in your building, you're going to prosper. Why would you want to cut your losses by, you understand where I'm going with that? Pray a blessing upon that business and on that person. They needed that. That's contrary to public thinking. That's contrary to where my mind was. But as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I take what he says in Matthew and I say, wow, I should pray a blessing for that business? Wow. Many are cursing our community right now. It's been on the news in the Twin Cities. It's been on Minnesota Public Radio, the controversy that's happening in the city. And so we have a divide in our city, and we can say, I'm on this side of the fence and you're on that side of the fence, or we're going to throw mud back and forth at each other, right? No. Ambassador of Jesus Christ would say, There's an outspoken enemy of whatever. An ambassador of Jesus Christ would pray a blessing for that person. Again, in my human thinking, what? I want that person to trip on a crack and break his back. I don't know. But you've been there. You know that. At least I don't think I'm isolated unto myself. But yet, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, transform my mind, God. Transform me into praying for my enemies, praying for those who would curse me, who would see me as a person of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be a prayer or a blessing. No matter what is spoken to me, and no matter what I am receiving from them, let me, as an ambassador of God, ambassador of Jesus Christ, be a person of prayer. A prayer for my own attitude, absolutely, but a prayer of blessing upon that person. Because I'm representing Jesus Christ. I am the highest ranking person. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's who we are as a church in this community. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God Himself making His appeal through us. Just let that truth of Scripture sink into your thinking today. You are an ambassador, as if God Himself were speaking through you. May that be a piece of the transformation that we need in our minds, yes, and in our hearts, and in our thinking. So that today, I just want to leave you with that simple thought, that you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Every word, every action should be, must be, a reflection of what the blessings that you have received from God. Will it happen every time? No, we're human. But then let the Holy Spirit then speak to you, correct your thinking, correct your thoughts, correct your prayer life, so that you become more and more like Christ in everything that you say and that you do. You are an ambassador to the King of Kings. You have a name. Earlier I spoke about the driver's license. You have an identity with the state, but that's not your identity. Your true identity is found through Jesus Christ. He loves you enough that He died for you. And accepting Him as Lord and Savior, you have been elevated to the rank of ambassador. Let me go back and quickly review those seven value statements. I want you to listen to them again. Let them speak to your heart. I value the souls of those who don't believe in Jesus. I value personal integrity. I value corporate worship. We value the Word of God. We value the gifts of God's people. We value wholesome fellowship. We value the family of God. I want you to stand. I want you to take a hymnal, and as another confirmation, as just another statement of belief today and unity, go back to the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to read that again in closing. It's page 8. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a bunch of ambassadors. You're an ambassador to your block. You're an ambassador to your neighbor. You're an ambassador to this city, to this county. We are ambassadors of God, our Heavenly Father. And this is a piece of our creed. This should be our identifier, our uniter of spirit. Let's read it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Father, for calling to us. Thank you for putting a title of ambassador on each and every one of us who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. You are the King of Kings. May we be obedient to your word. Father, thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you for transforming us into your likeness more and more each day. And let that be reflected in our words. Let it be reflected in our conversation. And let it be seen in our actions. Doing those good deeds that you have prepared for us to do in advance. Let us be obedient to you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and embrace your ambassadorship.